Podtacular episode 400. We stand together for November 21st, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And today, we are in celebration as we hit the 400 episode milestone for Podtacular. That is quite a few episodes, and we have gone through quite a lot to get to this point. And what you see here today is the culmination of a lot of work from other people. Definitely not all of myself and not all of Brent, but lots of different people who have been here in the past and lots of other communities that have been here along the way with us. And we're going to take a little bit to highlight some of the other communities that we've been able to interact with over the years. We've taken a look at what we've done in the past on episode 200 and 300 and our 7th year anniversary. We've kind of taken a look back at what Podtacular has done specifically. But for episode 400, we want to kind of twist things up a little bit and see what we've done with other communities to kind of just make the Halo community more awesome at its core. Because one of the things I believe in this podcast is the fact that we can reach out to so many different communities and really be an anchor that kind of helps bind some communities together and just really get the word out for some other people. And it's kind of one of the standing things, I think, for having the most downloaded show that's community driven for Halo and just getting that audience out there for other people. So we're gonna take a step in a different direction and take a look at some of the other communities that we've had the privilege of interacting with and hopefully talk about them and highlight them for this episode. And yes. I know Brent has a lot of history with Podtacular and probably knows a little bit more of the ancient stuff than I do specifically. So
yeah, I know the ancient stuff back before we started really getting involved with other communities. So I could probably give you a little history on that era, but you know, really the point at which we started interacting with the Halo community as a whole was when you came in, Duststorm. So you obviously know more about that than I do. I mean, you set up all those connections, so you're going to have to give that history out. But definitely, I'll be able to provide a little insight on the earlier days of Podtacular.
Yeah, well, there was definitely efforts made by Fumo, Jav, and JVB to get other people on the show. I mean, one of our earliest guests for the podcast was Major Nelson, and that was huge.
We always got guests, but I'm saying just in terms of actual interaction with those communities. I mean, it's one thing to have a guest on, but to get involved with other communities and set up those kind of connections is a completely different process. You know, at the time, at the beginning, we were just trying to get established as an entity ourselves. You know, I mean, you got to work on your own site before you start, you know, expanding to others, trying to reach out to those guys.
Right.
But yeah, even in the early days, people could definitely tell that Podtacular had potential. People like Major Nelson, stuff like that. And that was even back before, you know, Major Nelson was a huge deal like he is nowadays. I mean, now everybody knows Major Nelson as the face of Xbox. He is probably the most influential kind of community manager in the entirety of the gaming industry. But at the time, you know, I mean, his podcast was popular, but he wasn't, you know, just known ubiquitously throughout the entire Xbox community. So we definitely got in on the ground floor with a lot of the early Xbox community stuff at Podtacular. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah, so it's lots of little things like that, though, just kind of helped build Podtacular and build relations with other community members and other people in the industry. And it's been a real blessing in disguise, really, for having the podcast be born when it was born on the eve of podcasting in general, really. So lots of different things that have come about in terms of just podcasting in general, and then for Podtacular, just the kind of people that we get to interact with on a daily basis. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing some giveaways for this episode, and we're going to be announcing a few things that are going to be Podtacular related, site related, community related that I've been thinking about and kind of excited to talk about and announce as well. So as far as what you're going to be hearing on tonight's show is going to be a mix of the bulletin, some announcements, and some giveaways. So if you are listening live to this, I think our first goal is getting 20 people to listen at simultaneously. We've had other nights where it's been bigger because of certain guests that we've had on, but we're hoping to get 20 people on to kind of help celebrate this milestone that we have of 400 episodes. It's just crazy that we've managed to put out these many episodes, and I've been here for almost 236 of them, 238 of them, yep. Which is ridiculous in my opinion.
That was crazy. It's great.
So, but first things first, we're going to go ahead and dive into the bulletin that we got for this week. Lots of matchmaking updates. We had quite a few matchmaking updates from last week, and we have some more from this week. Not exactly the same updates that we had from last week, but some on the same topic as we dive into a little more details on behind the Team Slayer CSR rankings and the whole weekly top rankings. But first things first, we have some Griffball updates. So for the longest time, the Griffball was orange, and when they moved to Halo 4, orange wasn't the default color for Griff. So one of the things that they've changed for Griffball now is orange is orange. So Griff is actually orange for good now in the Griffball game type for matchmaking. And if you guys remember the Smashing Pumpkins that they did for the Halloween playlist, it's basically that same color that they've come and applied to the Griffball game type. So it's nice to see that they're actually coming through with the little bit of the lore from the community side, at least red versus blue and Griffball, and getting that orange in there. So I think a lot of people, well, actually, I know a lot of people over at Griffball Hub are happy that the Griff orange is back. So that's one thing that's up there. Lots of map updates as well. They've bringing back some of the classics that they've had on there. Thin Ice, Hangar 101, Sarge's Lab, Primordial, Terratamium, or I can never pronounce that one. Termitarium. And they're adding some new ones in there that they've done through some of the GGL leagues for Griffball Hub. And they have, I believe, 5-6 new ones on there. Including some team maps as well that they have. So there's a list of, I'm counting them up right now, 9 different maps that they're going to be including in the playlist for Griffball. So the courts are made by some of the community cartographers over there and some other people that have submitted maps to be reviewed by the cartographers and that have been kind of given the seal of approval by the Griffball Hub cartographers. So if you want to check those out, definitely head over to the bulletin. For those on the live stream, you can take a look at them on, well, we're viewing them right now. So that's one of the benefits of coming to the live stream. Wink, wink. They're making some changes to the game types as well. At least the game types that are going to be present and a few little tweaks to the in-game things. So for as far as voting options, Griffball, just regular Griffball, is going to be occupying slot 1. And the regular Griffball is the one where you have the 5 rounds, and it's auto-pickup, and the rounds don't reset. So it's basically the first 5. And then Griffball Pro is the one where you have to hold X to pick up, and it is best of 5 rounds. And that's going to be in slot number 2. And the settings have all been updated to match the latest Griffball Hub League settings as well. In the actual game types themselves, the movement speed for Griff has been moved from 170% to 180% to counter the mobility tactical package. And for those of you who aren't quite familiar with what that is, that the mobility tactical package lets you sprint indefinitely. So they're giving Griff a little more fighting chance of surviving in the classical Griffball game type. And apparently that's been added to all variants of Griffball as well. So that is something that kind of speeds up the game, and we'll see some more interesting things, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So
everybody loves Griffball. Well, not everybody. Most people. Most people.
Do we want to tell our tale of how well or badly we did in the fall league of
it's not like it's
the
a
GGL.
Shameful thing. I mean, we tried.
We had fun.
We joined in for the summer GGL League, and we got our tail handed to us on many, many occasions. It was definitely a lesson in learning how to deal with your teammates, dealing with conflict within your team. It was a fun experience. I mean, it was anytime you can do something like that, you always get something out of it. And I think our team learned about friendship, about life, love, you know, the important things in life.
Some priorities in life, the most part.
But yeah, I mean, Grip Ball's fun. It's I don't want to call it a diversion, you know, I don't want to, you know, downplay it. But if you're tired of just general Halo, if you're getting, you know, kind of bored of that, it's a fun, different game type that you can play within Halo.
Yeah. And so as far as our participation in the league went, we actually created a team, and we had 5 people on the team, including Brent and myself, a couple personal friends, and we had Halo Fan for Life on as well. We managed to win, what was it, 3 out of the games that we actually played, not the ones that we got via forfeit.
Yeah, I don't count the forfeits as wins.
Yeah, so I think it was
technically their wins, just not in my mind.
Yeah, so we won, I think, 3 games and lost, what, 5?
Yeah, I don't. So I didn't count. I didn't want to know how many times I had lost. I didn't want that number just ruminating in my mind. But, I mean, when we did win, it was exciting. Like, I mean, we got super excited every time we'd actually, you know, get a victory.
Because it was like, oh my gosh, we actually know how to play.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
I mean, we always knew how to play. It was just, you know, miraculous that we would actually overcome the odds that were against us and, you know, defeat people who have been playing Grif Ball for years now.
Yeah, and it was one of those points to where it just got to the point where, and everyone knows that there's networking problems with Halo 4, and there are certain ways that you can kind of combat that with how you move in Grif Ball. And with us being a brand new team, we just completely got owned. It was pretty bad, but nonetheless, it was fun to play. Definitely doing it again. Because of the mole and everything that I've been working with, though, we're not signing up Cyber Smashers for this league, and I'm actually joining another team, but because I didn't want to deal with doing the whole management and the team setup, and I just kind of wanted to have fun with it for this time. But we'll be back. The Cyber Smashers will be a comeback in the future. It's just a matter of when, in particular.
Personally, I want to get into a Ricochet League because that's something halfway decent at.
That is coming.
Okay. I'm ready for that.
And we'll dive into that a little bit later on as well as we get into the more community-related stuff. But as far as the Grif Ball League, Grif Ball Hub's been established pretty much for about 5 years now, so they know how to run the Grif Ball League, and it's done in an environment where it's very fun yet competitive. And if you're looking for a good league to get a part of, just that's Halo, Grif Ball Hub is probably the best one that's out there right now. I think it has the most attraction for the most players. There's still other clans out there like Praetoria Guard and Outcast Reborn, and all those kind of clan type things that go around and do little clan practices and go around and compete against each other sometimes. But if you're looking for something that's more like a league and has a bunch of different players on it, Grif Ball right now is probably your best option. And maybe soon it's going to be Ricochet, because the same folks over at Grif Ball Hub have started a Ricochet Hub, and they're getting some additional people on to help run that. And we're looking at getting some stuff started up. We're getting some events going and trying to get a feel for what people want to see with the maps and the game types. And it's really interesting stuff. I think a lot of people really enjoy the Ricochet game type. And it's a good mix between people that like playing Grif Ball and people like playing regular Halo. So, yeah, I think it's definitely has potential to be another successful league.
Yeah, I think if you play traditional Halo and you're good at that, Ricochet will appeal to you more than Grif Ball, just because you can transfer your skills from traditional Halo over into the new game type.
Yes. And there's a lot of familiarities between other game types of Halo, like Oddball and Assault, and lots of other kind of little things, little pieces of traditional Halo game types kind of jammed into one, and it makes it kind of fun with having the goals and the points and having the additional voiceover commentary from Jeff Stitzer, which makes it a little more kind of entertaining as well.
Yeah. But technically, Griffball skills also transfer over into Ricochet. I found that just being a runner in Griffball will make you a better ball carrier in Ricochet. Just in general. It also works in Oddball. You know, I mean, the ability to, you know, have no way to shoot back at people, but they're shooting at you and you still have to maintain possession of the ball is an important part of Griffball. And that transfers over into Ricochet, Oddball, you know, a lot of different objective game types. So, I mean, all Halo fans can enjoy both Griffball and Ricochet. I mean, it's not like there's like some sort of dichotomy where you either play Ricochet or you play Griffball, but, you know, never the two shall meet.
Right. Well, and when the game is actually designed to be fun, it doesn't get to the point where you like one game type or hate another. I think there's more preferences with Halo, but I don't think there's one that's really hated over the other, or one that's like more liked than the other in a severe manner.
So, I'm just going to say it. I don't like Headhunter. I saw that it's back in Halo 4, some sort of, you know, modder finding it. I just didn't enjoy it in Halo Reach. I felt cheated every time I would come within like 2 feet of the goal and get sniped in the head or something, and then some dude who was just sitting, like, you know, hiding next to the goal, just grab my heads and then score them. But yeah, I
think that has to do a lot with map design and the fact that Headhunter in Halo Reach was done almost solely on sword base.
Yeah. That was the exact same map I was thinking of whenever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the one they previewed it on back when Headhunter was, you know, in the trailers for Halo Reach.
People were excited for that game, but the thing was, when I played the beta for Reach, I actually enjoyed Headhunters. And then when the game came out, it's like, I'm not that great at this. I'm not really digging it.
Yeah.
Now, Stockpile was fun.
Oh, yeah. Stockpile. That's a different kind of game, though. It's completely different. I still remember that one time we played the perfect game of Stockpile on Powerhouse.
Yep, it's on YouTube. Reach. It was in the beta.
Yes, that was an epic moment in Podtacular history. But
I haven't looked that hard for it, but I haven't seen too many other perfect Stockpile games.
I'm sure they exist. And also, it depends on, you know, if you got a great team going up against a whole bunch of noobs, that's not really fair. I mean,
but how often does that happen anyways?
Not too often, but I'm saying, like, you go into a matchmaking and some dude's got like three guests versus you and three other, you know, hardcore Halo players. Chances are he's going to get face rolled.
Yeah, that's
true. As the kids used to say.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, lots of different things coming out in terms of the Ricochet stuff over at Ricochet Hub. And, yeah, like I was saying before, the Griffball scene is pretty much where it's at in terms of leagues right now and having the most community interaction in that proper league format. We still don't know kind of what the future of competitive Halo holds in terms of, like, AGL or UMG. It's still kind of up in the air. I haven't heard much news about it. Granted, I haven't looked too hard either, but I figured if some big announcement was made, I probably would have heard about it by now. So we're still looking to that, but Griffball Hub right now, we're really good friends with them, and it's something that I think we're going to support for a good long while. It's been a good relationship with them so far.
Yeah.
As far as going on with the bulletin, we have some Dominion updates, as it's going to be the playlist that's coming down the road here next week, celebrating the launch of the Xbox One console. We'll get to that in a little bit. But as you guys know, the Dominion playlist is coming out for the rotational playlist, and we're going to have Legendary Dominion be that third slot that got chosen. So, it was good to see that one of the two that I wanted to see got picked again. So that's pretty nice. As far as Dominion, I've actually heard quite a few people want to see Dominion back. A lot of people miss having Dominion as a playlist just because it's one of those new game types that was brought into Halo 4, and it should have a playlist that kind of sticks there.
Well, I mean, it wasn't an awful game type either. I mean, most people agreed that it was a good game type. I mean, some of them just kind of blew it off, but not many people just said it was awful. And I mean,
it was a lot of fun.
You know, the last few times I've went into a Dominion playlist with a full party, we just generally end up playing Lockdown every time it's available. That's a ton of fun.
Yeah, Lockdown is a heck load of fun.
Yeah.
As far as like seeing Force maps, though, I haven't seen much from just the customs side of things. I would have liked to have seen people go into the Force system and utilize some of the Dominion stuff. I know that aesthetically, it doesn't work as well in Forge, but it's one of those things where I would like to see community interaction, and that's kind of been one of the unfortunate side effects that we've seen with Halo 4 and its release and how people have treated it. Is there hasn't been too much community content in terms of maps and game types as much as there was for Halo 3 and Halo Reach.
I think one of the problems is the declining player base. People don't want to make maps if there's not going to be anybody around to play them. The more players there are in any game, there's more incentive to create custom maps because your map is going to get more exposure to more people. You know, I mean,
true.
If when you make something, you want it to get out to as many people as possible. And if, you know, you're playing a game with, Halo 4's population numbers are not great, especially when you compare them to past games. And
when you notice that it gets passed up by its former predecessor when it comes out for free on Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame it for that. I mean, anytime you give somebody something for free, they're going to play it. I mean, everybody on Xbox got that for free. And even then, it kind of, you know, dropped down really quick after people got Halo 3 out of their system. They're like, yep, that's that's Halo 3.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, you generally kind of like, you get the cream of the crop of creators in situations like this. You know, only the best forgers are left, you know, still making maps. So the ones that are coming out are really, really good custom maps. But I would still like to see more people playing Halo, if only to get that kind of creator base out there making stuff for Halo, you know, making videos, making podcasts, writing articles, talking
about
Halo.
Making videos.
Yeah.
We have a little thing that I've been working on.
Hmm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little later as well.
All right.
But yeah, I would like to see, I mean, I would like to see the community involvement come back. I do understand that it's just not a game that's appealing anymore. There's a couple of things that I would like to do with Podtacular that I would like to see hopefully bring a little bit of that back, at least for our community. I need to talk with a few people to see if what I want to do is feasible, but there's part of my announcements that I'm going to be dishing out at a little bit later on in the show. But let's get back to the bulletin real quick, because I want to nail this down and then get into some of the community involvement stuff that I want to kind of touch on. So on November 25th, we're going to have the update for Dominion. It's going to be dropping down with Dominion, Lockdown, and Legendary Dominion as the three choices that you'll get whenever you go into the Dominion playlist in matchmaking, which is going to be fun. Lockdown, I can see, get chosen a lot. Probably, I would say, an even spread between Legendary Dominion and Dominion. I'm not sure which one's going to be the more preferred one. Maybe Legendary, just because it's the newer one, but
it has Legendary right in the name, Dustin. It has to be better.
Legendary. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So, Lockdown, of course, is going to be tons of fun, as we've seen in the past. For the Community Ricochet maps, the three winners that we had for last week are going to be put into the Ricochet playlist. So you'll get to see those maps integrated into that playlist very, very soon. You can download them right now if you want to go to this week's bulletin and just click on the links, and you can go and download those maps and check them out for yourself. And finally, we reached down to our the ongoing saga with the Team Slayer CSR ranking everything. So they've officially announced the Team Slayer top 200.
All 200 people playing. we've ranked them.
It's more than 200 playing Team Slayer, believe it or not.
No. I wanted to get that one out there. You only get to make that joke once.
I think Team Slayer is probably second or third next to the big team that's done. I think Big Team Slayer and then Big Team Objective, and then I think Team Slayer is the third most popular playlist that's played. So they're going to be highlighting the top 200 players by CSR in the playlist on the playlist each week on Halo Waypoint. So they're going to be looking, of course, for those big level 50 players. So I'm not sure how many people honestly play Team Slayer on a consistent basis, but it sounds like if the population stays relatively the same, or it may dwindle because of the Xbox One release. I'm not sure how that dynamic is going to be affected too much, but it may be a good chance for you to just kind of dive in with a three other of your friends and go in and see how well you rank, because 200 compared to, I think, about, I want to say 2,000 that are in there right now, that's 10%. So it's not bad odds to if a good team going in to get up there and be highlighted. So, of course, the CSR will be reset with the Monday matchmaking update. So that's coming out this next week. And then it's going to be broken up into 2-month seasons. So I'm guessing that means that every 2 months, they're going to be resetting all of the ranks. So that's going to be, I guess, how they're going to be moving out from here on out for the Team Slayer stuff. Of course, Team Slayer will now be based on Team CSR, no longer the individual CSR. And the max party size will be adjusted from the current 8 to 4 to ensure that you only get teams of 4 going into Team Slayer and not full teams of 8 that can gain the system. And of course, the join in progress parameters are going to be tightened down as well. So I think the current join in progress parameters is something like a minute for Team Slayer, and based off a certain amount of points, like maybe 5 points or so. As far as narrowing that down, it could be maybe something as low as 30 seconds or something a little bit different. I'm not exactly sure. They don't specify, but we'll definitely see the results of it coming out this next week. And having just the teams of 4, I think, is going to help a lot, too. You're not going to have those big parties.
It's going to be rare.
It's always going to throw it off, too, whenever you have those one or two people that go into that playlist just to go in and play some Team Slayer.
That ain't their fault. If I got a team of 4, if a full team, and they only have one or two people going in, it ain't my fault. Should have had a full team.
Yeah, I agree.
The whole point is you could just go in with you and several 7 friends and just boost your way up to the top 10 of the top 200. That would be ridiculous. So the entire point of a leaderboard, leaderboards are pointless if you cheat to get to the top. If you cheated to get to the top, what's the point? Why even have a leaderboard?
Right. Well, and the other thing is, as far as how the teams will work with this, I'm not sure. If you go in with a full team, how often you're going to be paired up with another full team, or if they're going to be kind of altering the matchmaking settings to where if you go in with a team of 4, you get matched up with a team of 4 instead of matched up with a team of 2 and 2 or 3 and 1 that can possibly get broken up.
That seems like the general priority anyway. It's just from what I've seen going in. I've played against people who only had, 2 or 3, but generally when you go into a full team in Team Slayer, you get matched with another full team.
Right.
If it's available.
So hopefully they kind of tighten that down, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, make it to where it's almost impossible to go up against a team that isn't full.
Right. So yeah. I would personally like to see that a little bit, to where these rankings don't get drastically affected by those little nuances.
Because I still feel like if you go in alone or with just one other person, that's your fault. The point, it's just been a fact in Halo since Halo 2 that if you go in with a full team of people you know, you're generally going to do a hell of a lot better than if you go in just with randoms. That's with every game.
Right, but I'm not necessarily thinking in terms of the people that join in the one or two. I'm thinking of people that they have to play against those people. Like the teams actually go in and play. And yeah. I mean, there's still cases where I even go in with people in the full party in Halo, and on the other team, we still see people drop like crazy.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things.
Man, I hope something. One of the big things I want on Xbox One is a vastly improved matchmaking system. Like, that would be one way to really bring it into a next-gen experience. You know, give me something I didn't get out of this generation. Improve the matchmaking.
I'm hoping that they're going away from the true skill.
Yeah.
That they had. And I think it was... I think they are moving to a new system for the Xbox One of matchmaking. I think they did kind of at least mention that a little bit. I don't think they necessarily came out and straight said it.
They based
but
it on
they
your
do,
appearance.
They do need a different matchmaking system for Xbox.
Kinect, and I think they are working your body. It makes sure that you're the right height, you know, right age to go up against people in your same demographic.
let's not be racist here.
I'm not being racist. I'm saying your age and your
height. I'm just saying.
I didn't mention race. You did. Demographic has nothing to do with race. Demographic has everything to do with just, I mean, if you're female, that's a demographic. If you're a female under 20, that's a demographic. If you're a male over 40, that's a demographic.
How about the little squeakers? Let's get the little squeakers all playing against themselves. Let them piss each other off.
That would actually be great. Like, I would support that. And they would probably support it too, you know? I mean, they can squeak at each other and get all wild.
That'd be horrible.
I don't have to listen to it.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't have to listen to it, but that would still be
horrible.
That's the best
part. That's great for me. I mean, I don't care what they say on Xbox Live as long as they don't say it to me. You know?
If you look at how that sounds, that's just horrible.
I mean, really, I can't stop people from saying awful stuff. I just don't want to get matched up with those people.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I definitely have the same feeling. So, it definitely needs a new matchmaking system, and I think they have developed one for the new Xbox Live platform, because, I mean, they have 300,000 servers to power it, too. I think with the complete overhaul of the infrastructure just for the Xbox One version of Xbox Live, that they're going to be making drastic changes across the board. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Wrapping up the bulletin, we have the screenshots. Spotlights. And this week, it's Harvest. So, we have quite a few here. Some that I liked. I think, personally for me, Laser Charge, Harv 8 by Silent Hit. Laser Charge is Receptor 17. He's kind of like our second favorite right now. Rise is pretty cool. I love the kind of lighting effect that there is on that one. Forgotten Spartan. John and Tranquil. Those are kind of the ones that I favor in this screenshot set. And I didn't know... I'm trying to figure out for Harvest by Christopher721 where that screenshot is actually located. Where is there a plant lab?
Is it on that map? Harvest?
I mean, all these screenshots, I'm assuming... Since it's Harvest, they're taken on the Harvest map.
Yeah, it's on Harvest, so I mean,
so like,
gotta be somewhere in there.
I'm wondering where this is, because I mean, granted, I haven't scoured the map for this area, but I'm wondering where this is.
I mean, it makes sense. Like a little horticulture center on Harvest is an agricultural planet.
Yeah, it's just kind of oddly placed, and I'm surprised I've never seen it before. But what about you? What do you like?
I like Clan Pale Horse. Just looks weird. I don't know, that Spartan color is just strange to me for some reason. I also like Aspiration. That's kind of a cool effect. I like that red and black. But those were my high school colors, so I'm kind of biased. Laser Charge, the helmet looks cool. But, I mean, you can make your helmet look cool like that. I mean, just anybody can.
Right.
These are
Forgotten Aspiration is kind of cool.
I mean, John is kind of generic.
I just like the lighting effect from the floor. Like, if you took out the right half of the image and just had the left half, that would be kind of cool.
It'd be like a cinematic image. I mean, if you had just shown me that screenshot and just like the left half, I would think that it was just from the campaign, like some portion of it that I hadn't seen, like a cut scene.
It kind of does, actually. Yeah.
Looks cinematic. Yeah. It's got like a cut scene quality to it.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Spartan Heaven's kind of funny. I like the idea of a Spartan kind of ascending into heaven.
In his full suit of armor that weighs a ton. Yeah, that'd be crazy. So that's it for the bulletin for this week. One thing that we forgot to mention last week that I'm kind of beating myself over is the title update that hit on the Xbox for Halo 4 last week. So we have some updates for Xbox. If you noticed and if you launched Halo 4 last week, you'll notice that there's a title update that got pulled down. And it's supposed to fix a few things. There's still a lot of things on the table for them to fix in terms of functionality and things resetting, like the Spartan points and the weapon unlocks and that kind of stuff. But anyways, what they fixed in the latest title update is they fixed an issue where player loadouts would reset back to default. So it's kind of a funny thing right now. And at least how I've noticed it is if you go and play another game, everything that you've purchased gets reset. All of your Spartan points reset back to 52 if you're at level 130. And if you're not there, it resets to however many you should have. And the funny thing is, if you have something set that doesn't require Spartan points to unlock, or is like one of the DLC things, like if you got with the Champions Bundle or if you got with a pre-order, then those stay. But anything that you set in your loadouts that requires Spartan points to purchase, so like any of the tactical packages or the support mods or the armor abilities, those you have to go back and repurchase. And it's kind of a pain. I'm hoping they patch that in the next title update whenever that comes down the line. Yeah. So it gets annoying, though. I will say that. Another bug they fixed is an issue where players in Forge were unable to see other players while in monitor mode. They fixed an issue where the Mark V, Prefect, and Ricochet forearm armors would display incorrectly. They fixed an issue where the Champions Bundle armor sometimes disappeared in networked war game matches. And they fixed an issue where Champions Bundle armor appeared incorrectly in theater film clips. So lots of different updates with the Champions Bundle armor in this title update. So I think people really noticed that off the start when you went into custom games. Any of the armor that you would get from the Champions Bundle actually showed up, I think, as ODST. So that's kind of what is pretty much going through the update processes right now, and hopefully they're going to be coming down the pipeline with more updates that'll address some of the bigger issues that people have been talking about and reporting. And my phone's going off like crazy, sorry about that. As far as waypoint stuff, that's all we have for today. We're going to dive now into some of kind of reminiscing moments.
History lesson.
A little bit of history lesson.
Pod History 101.
Well, if you want that, then you need to go way, way back.
Yeah.
Like way, way back, even before my time.
Yes. So. Back to the earliest days. I wasn't there in the very earliest days. I can't remember. I came in around episode 10, I think. I know
that was before me.
Yeah. I don't remember how I found it. I think I saw it on I saw it on Bungie.org. Or not Bungie.org, Bungie.net. They had some sort of article up that day talking about Fumo Jive, and they had a link to an episode of Podfacular, and that's what got me hooked. So that's how it all began back then, for me at least.
Pretty nice.
Just a simple Bungie.net article. But, I mean, that goes to show you, getting something up on an official developer's website is a big deal in terms of, you know, gathering up a fan base for your little side project.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, for me, I heard about Podtacular just kind of in passing on the internet. I heard about it before, I think right around when it started too, but I didn't really pay much attention to it because my parents didn't let me get a console and I wasn't really going to be playing Halo that much to begin with. So I didn't, it wasn't something that stuck, but then, it was something where I was playing with friends that had it more and more often. So it was something I got more interested in. And I finally just, my Halo fix was the podcast. So around, I think episode 52, 55, 57, something like that, was when I started to get involved and just start listening. And actually, it was summer 2006 and our family went on a vacation to Africa. So I downloaded all the episodes from 1 to 50, whatever at the time. And I listened to almost all of them while we were on vacation in Africa. So that's kind of how I got my start with Podtacular, which is kind of odd.
Yeah. I think a lot of people came to Podtacular out of a sense that, I mean, you could download Podtacular, you could listen to it whenever, and basically you were carrying around a Halo conversation in your pocket. You know, I mean, you couldn't contribute to it, but if you wanted to listen to people talking about Halo, you know, I mean, and this was back when podcasts were a new deal. Like, back then, if you had said the word podcast to just somebody on the street, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. They'd think you were crazy. You'd have to actually explain to them, well, you know what an iPod is? And they'd be like, well, yeah, maybe. I mean, this is one of those little music devices. You know what a broadcast is? They're like, yeah, it's a, you know, media, whatever. You know, it's like that. It's like you can listen to a radio show on your iPod. They're like, oh, that's weird. You know, I mean, nowadays people, they know instantly what a podcast is. That's a very ubiquitous thing across, you know, culture now that social media has driven people onto the internet. But you know, back then it was a novel deal. So listening to a Halo podcast back then, it was doubly exciting. First, because you got to listen to people talk about Halo, which is always great. The second, you know, you had this kind of new technology, or I mean, a new form of media that you were on kind of the ground floor of. You could like brag to people, yeah, I listen to podcasts. You could tell I'm a very technologically oriented individual. I mean, really, it was kind of like a bragging rights thing to say, yeah, I listen to podcasts. I'm a very, you know, very involved gamer.
It wasn't really specifically gaming at the time either. It was just one of those things. It was kind of the advent of podcasting. I mean, it was pretty much turned by the iPod when Apple came out with that. And that the whole online radio thing became podcasts.
It's definitely spread out to many more subjects than just gaming. But I will submit that if it weren't for gaming podcasts, podcasts would never have – they would have came around eventually, but gaming podcasts sped up that kind of rush to start podcasts. Like every single outlet everywhere started putting out a podcast at some point. And I believe that part of that was because of the popularity of gaming podcasts. And I mean, back then, the only people willing to put on a radio show were gamers. I mean, if you were going to talk about something, you could listen to anybody talk about stuff. But video games, everybody loves talking and listening about video games for some reason. Like, one of the odd things about NeoGAF is you can spend years, you know, reading NeoGAF, never play a video game, but still be super involved in learning about, you know, what's next in the gaming industry. You know, what's happened? I spend more time reading NeoGAF at one point in my life than I actually did playing video games, like much, much more time. I mean, I would spend more time fretting about, you know, the financial state of the industry than actually playing video games. I mean, it's just something that interests a very weird set of people that want to hear about it all the time. And that podcast kind of scratched that itch.
Interesting story for Brent. It is good stuff. I remember back in the day when we had that like small network of gaming podcasts for the Gamercast network. That was kind of like the big thing back in the day. It was Gamertag Radio, Podtacular, Uncle Gamer, Achievement Junkie, Sarcastic Gamer, Video Game Show, all those like older podcasts that just kind of helped break ground for gaming podcasts in general. And the fact that
there was one of those too.
Yeah. And we were along with there.
Yeah, we were groundbreakers.
Believe it or not. I mean, we were only headed up by a few other ones at the time. I know Gamertag Radio started before us. I think they started a week before us. I have to go back and check. And then Major Nelson had his Major Nelson Radio a little before a lot of other people started to get into the podcasting gig as well.
Yeah, I remember listening to the Major Nelson shows prior to listening to Podtacular. And in a lot of ways, Major Nelson kind of, he didn't start gaming podcasts, but he started a rush for everybody to start their own gaming podcast because they enjoyed Major Nelson's show. And they're like, yeah, I could totally do this. I could talk about video games for hours on end. You know, I mean,
well, yeah, he was, but, I mean, in a sense, he was kind of one of the pioneers, and there were a few different pioneers in there. And that was that whole group back in the day that I think was part of Gamercast Network, was those sets of gaming podcasts that kind of helped define the gaming podcast genre. And now there's hundreds of thousands of gaming podcasts. And I think that's kind of where a lot of them got their start, was that initial group of gaming podcasts.
And in a lot of ways, I think the podcast scene helped kind of create the Xbox community as you know it today. Because when you were listening to the Major Nelson podcast, you felt like you had an inside. He was like an insider at Xbox. You felt like you were listening to insider information, and it was like he was talking to you like a normal person. Like this wasn't some sort of, you know, completely divorced from reality, you know, video game executive who doesn't play video games and doesn't care about that. You know, this was a guy, you know, legitimately talking about playing video games and enjoying them. And yeah, he's I don't want to call him a corporate shill, but that's what he is. That's his job, to shill for Xbox. But at the same time, he's a very down to earth guy. He very, you know, he plays video games just like we all do. And he made you feel like you were part of a community. Like Xbox didn't just want to foster a community, it actually wanted to be a part of the community. Whereas with Sony and Nintendo, you know, and part of that's because Sony and Nintendo are based out of Japan. I'm not sure you could get a really great podcast out of, you know, some of the Sony execs or the Nintendo execs. Iwata would probably do some pretty cool podcasts. But, you know, at the time, Iwata, I don't think he was president of Nintendo of Japan yet, but, you know, at the time, you didn't know about any of the executives at these companies, except for Xbox, because Xbox was actually out there doing the podcasts, you know, going to community podcasts, like Major Nelson did in the earliest days of Podtacular. I mean, it would have been, you know, if we were actually, you know, kind of a big podcast at the time, I could understand Major Nelson coming on, but at the time, you know, Podtacular wasn't that big. But he still took time out of his, you know, busy day to come on the show and show that he was part of the community. And that's why I've always respected Major Nelson. And I think that's a reason everybody in the Xbox community respects Major Nelson, because he took the time to make himself known and to actually talk with the gamers and the content creators in the community.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the nice things to see of how the Xbox community has really grown up and matured over kind of the existence, I guess, kind of limited to Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Because you definitely had the time of Xbox from 2001 to 2004 when you didn't have Live, but it was when you started to have the online communities is when you started to see these podcasts really crop up.
Well, I mean, that's one of the great things about it now is every community basically has podcasts. I mean, most of the big communities have them. It's just part of being a community now. It's kind of lame if you don't have a podcast at this point in your huge community. I mean, it really, it's a way for fans to involve themselves in a content creation process and for the content creators to get back out to the fans. I mean, that's what we do. We ask for submissions from our fan base, and then in return, you know, we're out there, you know, we're talking about the submissions, and then we're giving them back something to listen to. So it's kind of a give take thing.
It's one of those things where it's traditionally Podtacular has been based off the community and has been really looking for kind of the community involvement. And unfortunately, kind of in the current state, we've gotten away from that, but it's something that we would like to get back to. And it's kind of one of the things I wanted to kind of highlight for this show was kind of our community involvement with some of the other communities that we've had the privilege to work with and really get out and highlight. And we've already kind of talked about one of them that was Griffbaugh Hub. We've had a good lasting relationship with them. And I mean, I live pretty close to them, so I can actually just go over and talk to them about stuff. And there have been nights when I've been over there that we've literally just sat and talked about Halo. And you can pretty much do that with any community and any community leaders at that point. Just sit down and talk Halo is one of the coolest things to be able to do with pretty much anyone in the kind of the Halo sphere of community leaders, essentially.
And they all have their own opinions. That's the great thing, too. I mean, it's not just like you get this echo chamber going where everybody's saying the exact same thing.
When opinions ring strong.
You're going to have a unanimous opinion. I mean, that's just going to happen. But I'm just saying it's not like we're always all saying the same thing all the time, every time. I mean, there's a lot of dissenting opinions. It's just proven. I mean, I've come out against certain things about Halo that I didn't like, and then I'll have people say, no, I love that about Halo. It's great, and I'll tell you why I think you're wrong. You know, I mean, that's great. You don't want to hear just the same stuff over and over and over again. You want debate. You want conflict. And I mean, I don't mean like, you know, kind of vicious,
you don't want conflict.
Poisonous.
You want,
no, well, I mean, want, not conflict
you,
like
you
that.
Want discussion.
Saying, just
you want
debate
discussion.
And discussion. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and the thing is that if somebody disagrees with you, you should go beat them up. I mean, that's why we got such a great community with Griffball Hub. We know where they live. I'm joking.
We're not making threats.
No, I'm not making a threat. I'm just joking.
But as far as like other communities go, Ready Up Live is another big one. I met Dan originally in PAX. Was it Halo Fest? Yeah, it was Halo Fest. And met him, and at the time, Ready Up Live wasn't as widely known or popular on YouTube. And at the time, he was popular for his Green Machines, his Rube Goldberg videos. And those got posted via Waypoint, and then he exploded, and then he kind of became the YouTube star that he is now because of it. So just knowing him and then an extension, knowing the staff that works over at Ready Up Live and having that community, it's just an awesome group of people to know and to interact with. And I play with the staff, like a few of the staff regularly. I play with Drax and Riot and Chewy on Battlefield on regular nights for just my gaming sessions. So they're a really friendly community over there. And it's one of the, I think it's kind of one of the last forum communities for Xbox that's really a good positive place to go. There's always the, like the Xbox forums and the Halo Waypoint forums that you can go to, but there's not one that's really kind of endorsing that whole friendship thing quite like Ready Up Live does. So as far as like the community there, just in terms of a gaming community, that's one of the other really cool places to go check out. So, and we've done a few things with them. We collabed on recording one of the PAX panels. I believe it was PAX East of last year that we collabed on recording a video and posted some stuff up there. And we've been in each other's videos. We've vlogged for each other, and just kind of promoting each other is one of the cool things. And It's not just Ready Up Live that we do that with either. It's a lot of other communities that we go out and we reach out and say, what can we do to help support some of the efforts that you guys are doing? Like, we've done stuff with Halo Fan for Life and promoted some of the stuff that he's done with his blog and Spartan Ops. And that's one of the other cool things is getting to go out and reach out to some of these other smaller bloggers and community members that have, in our opinions, made some significant differences and provide a valuable resource for the Halo community. Another thing would be BS Angel before she got picked up by Waypoint. She was good friends with Fumo at the time when they had the podcast going, when they had it running. She ran a blog called Holly McBloggy, so she was known for that, which was for showing off screenshots and other little art pieces from the Halo community, which was really awesome. And her website's still up. You can still go back and see some of her previous stuff before she got picked up by 343. But when I picked up the podcast, she was one of the first people that we had on, I believe. And we kind of just kicked it off right there. I got in touch with her, and we've been pretty good friends ever since, even with her getting to Waypoint. And that's just a good relationship to have with someone that's in the industry now. So you don't know where the connections that you have will take you. And I think it's one of the reasons that's kind of helped gotten this podcast where it is now, just because of the people that we've interacted with. So people that were kind of doing things on their own, like BS Angel and Halo Fan for Life, but have provided good community content that kind of enriches the experience just for the general Halo population, or some of the people that I like to kind of reach out to and help promote on the podcast. And then there's other group sites, like obviously the big one is HBO. We haven't done much collaboration stuff with them, but they've been very generous of helping promote our stuff. And we've talked about some of the contests that they've had over there. And I've been able to just kind of meet some of the people from HBO just at some of the events that we've gone to, like a lot of the PAX events and Comic-Con. And I don't think I really met anyone at RTX that was from HBO. But just getting to know those people online and meet up with them at these big conventions and see how much of Halo nuts they actually are.
Everybody's nuts for Halo. Come on.
Perfect example would be Grim Brother One, and he's been on the show so many times, and he is a freaking Halo lore expert, and there are plenty of other lore experts over there. It's like the mind of Halo is kind of almost enticed or encapsulated within HBO. Like if you want to really dig down into the deep parts of Halo, HBO is one of the best places you could probably go.
Yeah. In terms of just extremely deep into it. We're not talking, you know, casual Halo fan level stuff here. And
to that point, we're not talking like just games or stuff that you see that gets promoted. Like just the games, the books, the fiction that's kind of out there. You dig into stuff that is posted just off one-offs from developers that don't get much highlight out there, but are picked up by people in communities like HBO that can go down and just really drill down into someone's post and extrapolate so much information. The universe of Halo is so vast, and there's so many different experts on so many different little pieces of it.
I'm an expert on Sarah Palmer. You can ask me anything. I'm actually not. I don't know that much about her. But, I mean, really, I mean, there are parts. It's weird. There are people who are just specifically into one very, you know, small part of Halo, and that's where they have their expertise. You know, you got, like, Pete the Duck, Forge. There are some people that are just really, really into the canon and the books. They, like, don't play the video games that much, but they are really, really into the books. Then you got people who never play campaign. They're just into competitive multiplayer. Then you got people who like to make the films, you know. They're kind of into everything. But, I mean, some of them just make Halo films. There's these certain areas of expertise you can place yourself into. We've kind of found ourselves in a stranger area of expertise with a podcast, but I mean, that's a specific area. I mean, it's different in the way that we have to prepare ourselves and the way that we have to gather our information for each show. You know, we have to decide on formats and stuff. That's, you know, generally Dustin does that. He does everything for the show. I don't do anything except, you know, sit here and be a talking head, which I enjoy doing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love being a talking head. It's great, but I'm just saying it's great to have a community where you can excel in certain things.
Right. And
just a very specific part of it.
It's not just like we have one specific area that we cover as a podcast. I think one of the things that really has blessed this podcast is the ability to cover so many things, but to be able to reach out to people and really dive into some of the other areas because of the expertise that we can get on the show.
We're kind of community promoters in a way. I mean, we like to talk about Halo. We do that. We have the debate and discussion portion. But then I think in a lot of ways, we provide a certain service to other communities, you know, other Halo communities that they want to show off the stuff they've created or talk about it. And then they can come onto our show and get it out to the people that listen to it.
Right. It's just a good, it's a good platform. And I honestly wish we had more listeners, to be honest. And I think that's kind of one of my campaigns I'm going to go on here at the start of next year, is to really help kind of push the podcast out in this kind of downtime of Halo, in matter of speaking. But as far as just community involvement, yeah, we go out and kind of help service other communities, but other communities kind of do the same for us in terms of letting us getting involved with what they're doing. Like, we've gotten involved with Griffball Hub. I've gotten involved with some of the stuff that Ready Up Live has done. Just contributing. I mean, one of the big things that you can just do, and this isn't necessarily something specific to the podcast, but what you can do in general is just go and participate in forums and discussions and just the different kind of Halo communities that are out there. There's tons of different communities. There's communities for forging. There's communities for racing. There's communities for Griffball. There's communities for communities, if you want to count something like us. There's communities for just lore all around, just for like Forward Unto Dawn and Ascendant Justice before they got picked up by Waypoint as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're getting paid for the service. No. Of, I mean, that's not how
definitely
it
not.
We benefit from guests coming on just as much or more than they benefit, you know, from being on our show. They benefit because they get the exposure, you know, they get the, we let people know about their existence if they didn't already know. And in exchange, by having guests on the show, we have a better show. I mean, it's always good to have guests on talking about different things, talking about their area of expertise.
Right. And when we were having like 20,000 downloads a show at the start of Halo 4, it was something that you if you were on our show, you were getting out there. And I still think we're probably one of the more downloaded shows. It's a lot closer now because of just the disinterest in Halo. But we still have a solid population of 3,000 to 5,000 downloads a show, which is a decent amount. It's nowhere near the downloads that you'll get for an official studio release like Bungie or the Major Nelson Radio or like the studio-specific stuff. But in terms of community, it's still, I mean, we're kind of still lucky. I mean, that could change in an instant, but we're still lucky enough to be kind of one of those big ones out there. And it's really driven by the community. And I mean, what I want to see with the podcast grow too is a lot more community involvement just within our community of listeners. Like, I've asked time and time again to give us recommendations. And I mean, I don't know if people are just content with how we're doing things or if we have a very quiet crowd, but we don't get many emails of suggestions to do. So, I mean, that's going to be one of my things to kind of help push out too, is getting people involved with the podcast. So it's the community's podcast, not just our podcast. There are certain things that will obviously keep our way as we go throughout the podtacular journey, but there are things that we can do, I think, to cater more to the community if the community speaks up and wants it in a certain way.
Yeah.
So, but to highlight some other communities, Forward Unto Dawn, I was able to be one of the people that they interviewed for their Community Evolved project. Forward Unto Dawn is kind of taking the reins over what Ascendant Justice has done and is one of those sites that really dives into the lore of Halo. I mean, they're just as crazy as Grimm is with some of the different stuff that they know about the Halo lore. And there's other communities like Halo Customs. We've whenever we do our game nights, we always post over there our Wacky Wednesdays, and that's kind of our interaction with them, is our contribution to them is posting a game night to where we can get some other people in to just keep on playing Halo on a weekly basis. That's another thing that we do, and by that measure we give them a little bit of highlight whenever we go on, because I'll mention that in the game lobby that to go over and check out Halo Customs. So I mean, it's something that we like to go and highlight communities, and we like to give back whenever we can. Because I think that's one of the things that really ties the Halo community as a whole together is just the fact that we have so many different communities, but the simple fact is we can interwork with and interoperate with each other in such a way just based off of the fact that we're joined by a single game, a single franchise.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And that's what I like to see Podtacular be, continue to be and grow to be more successful in doing as well. But we've gone through a lot of the big communities. There's definitely kind of our fan faves, and that is including Griffball Hub, Ready Up Live, HBO. We've done a few things with Go Beyond Entertainment. We've had them on. We've had the AGL guys on. We had Brad on to help advertise AGL early on this year. So we definitely like to reach out to a bunch of different community and a lot of people that are making things happen for the Halo community and really highlight that and kind of add that to our encyclopedia of guests, so to speak. So that's kind of how we've come as far as recently. Now, there have been things in the past where when Halo 2 was a big thing, we got into a lot of doing clan matches. We had our own rec clans and pro clans, and then we had an all-stars, and we were going out to other clans and getting involved with other Halo communities in that regard. And it wasn't something where the clans were all disparate. It's the clans knew each other. They played Halo together and had a good time.
They were desperate. We hated each other. I mean, we didn't hate each other, but there was a strong rivalry there. And I mean, it needed to be that way. That's the only way to have a fun competitive clan system. But Pro A and Pro B did not get along. I just want to note that Pro B beat Pro A on several occasions. We only got beat a couple. But there were actually times, well, I won't say times, because there was one specific instance I can remember. We both went in completely separate of each other. Pro A had a bunch of people. We had 8 people or whatever. Or they did. I was in Pro B. They had 8 people go into matchmaking. We had 8 people go into matchmaking, Pro B, into big team battle. And then we got matched up somehow just out of sheer dumb luck. We played one flag on Headlong, and we ended up winning. So Pro B is the greatest Podtacular clan of all time. I just want to go out there and say that. The previous host, G. Lewis, was part of Pro B. He was actually one of the staff members on Pro B. He was the one who he didn't let me in, but he was, we had tryouts for the pro clans at the time.
Tryouts.
We did. We had tryouts.
I was not part of the... No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just I was never part of that era of Podtacular, unfortunately.
Back then, when everybody who had an Xbox played Halo, there were enough people to where you had to separate the good players from the bad players. And in the pro clan, I mean, we had a rec clan where anybody could join. You know, the recreational clans, anybody could get in there. But to get into the pro clans, you had to try out. And I tried out, and the only reason I got in was because I went on a shotgun spree. And I remember one...
nice.
He's still my friend, but at the time, he was really, really bummed out because he was actually a better Halo player than me. And I actually beat him out just because of my shotgun spree and got into the pro clan while he was stuck in the rec clan. So I still feel bad about that to this day. But, man, I mean, that was a crazy shotgun spree, too. It wasn't just like a normal shotgun spree. I was really into it. I wanted to be part of that pro clan. Those are some good days. I miss the Halo 2 online days. I mean, it really, yeah. It's cliche to say it, but you had to be there.
I know, and I miss those days. So, unfortunately, I didn't get the full experience.
Jack Fire Dragon says I was camping. I was not camping. I was running around. I was running around with this shotgun on a spree, man. I was like turning corners and stuff, and I would just see people, and like I was so twitch at the moment that I just went crazy.
Just one of those like in the zone moments.
Can't prove it. I mean, there's no video, but
we had no theater back then. Yeah. Well, a couple other communities that I want to just kind of highlight that we haven't had too much interactions with in terms of like big community involvement, but there are places that we have reached out to every now and again just to kind of like ping and say, yeah, we're still here. But Forge Hub is one of those. 405th. Now, 405th is, they're the ones that do all the cosplaying. costumes and everything. And if you go to things like PAX or RTX, then you'll see them there. They are the ones in the Spartan costumes. They are some really cool guys to hang out with and just to see the masterpieces that they make behind the weapons, the armor, the props, all that good stuff. So that's another community that we have interacted with a little bit, not really to a great extent, but a little bit, so to speak. Waypoint, obviously, because they're the developer. Recently, Certain Affinity. We've had a few interactions with them. We've had a couple of them on the show to talk about. Let's see, we did talked about Champions Bundle stuff, so that was pretty cool. And of course, another like scatter of communities here and there. And if you want to really dig into the old Podtacular archives, then you can find some other things like Machinima groups. So the people behind the Codex. People behind Sponsors versus Freeloaders, which is where Laird came from. We've had a couple interviews with the folks from Rooster Teeth for Red versus Blue. We've had plenty of other guests on from a bunch of different Halo communities on the show as well. And it's really cool just to see other communities get involved. And, of course, having people within the community on the shows is something that was really big back in the day, and it's something we kind of do now and again, and hopefully we can get more into it in the near future. But it communities outside of just our own has been something that I've tried to kind of help build and maintain throughout the era of Podtacular that I've been a part of. I feel that when Fumo, Jive, and JVB were doing it, it was more based on, or at least starting with Halo 2, it was based on the Podtacular community, really focusing on that, focusing on the clans and everyone that was involved there. And then when it kind of broke out a little bit more into Halo 3, that's when it started to branch out into the other gaming communities that played Halo. And then kind of after I picked up the podcast, where people started to get more involved. Not to say that people weren't already involved, but more involved with the lore and a lot more digging into different aspects of Halo, because we had the Forge, we had the Theater, and we had Terminals with Halo 3 and all that stuff. It's when there was kind of a big explosion of different communities out there that wasn't just clans. That's kind of the approach that I've kind of tried to pick up and take for the podcast. So I hope to continue that endeavor and really look for more communities to get involved with, find more communities to reach out to, and kind of bring into the Podtacular fold and in terms of being able to interact with. And I hope that it Halo's here long enough for that to be maintained and to keep going on forever. as long as we can keep the podcast going, as long as Halo's here. In my personal opinion.
Oh, yeah. And Halo is going to be around forever. So Podtacular will be around forever.
Hopefully someone will be as passionate as me to follow the legacy. I'm sure there's someone that could be, but
somebody's got to carry the torch, you know?
Yeah, someone does.
You can always find someone willing to carry the torch. There's always somebody out there. Now, whether or not they're capable or competent, that's completely different.
Yeah.
But there will be someone out there who wants to do it. I mean,
I'm looking through the past episodes right now. I just came across Halo.Junk.WS. So those are some old members. A Cyclonic, that's an older one. Cave Girls. Zerg Steez from when he was with Ty the Leader, not with Bungie. He was on the show too. So lots of people in Podtacular's history. It's crazy. So that's, I mean, that's a lot of different communities that we have ties with, and it's just, in my opinion, it's really awesome to see, and I hope you guys feel kind of the same way. And if it's, if there's a certain community that you guys want us to interview as well, it's something that I highly recommend people sending it us to in emails, like email saying, hey, these guys are cool, check them out. And I definitely have my laundry list of people that I've been meaning to get on and I want to get on, and I just haven't done it yet. So there are definitely plenty of different communities and people to get out there. Because, I mean, if you look at the different efforts for just Machinima and the different efforts just for, like, the little, like, nuance groups that are out there, like Drunk and Halo and PGCR and a lot of other just smaller Halo communities. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of communities. So there's always room to talk about communities and just having that kind of big Halo family moment. So, but it's time to get the show wrapped up. I wanted to make a few announcements. First is going to be a contest that we're running in celebration of 400. We have some giveaway items that we're going to be giving away, and we'll make a post about this. Well, we're recording this on Thursday, so we'll make a post about it on Saturday of what the full details of how this is going to turn out. But in celebration of 400, we want you guys to provide or kind of make something that really reflects what Podtacular has done for you. Whether it be through the podcast, whether it be through gaming nights, whether it have been through stuff that we've done through conventions. We want to see you guys, however you want to show your thanks or what Podtacular has done for you. It could be through something that's written. It could be through an email. It could be something if you want to make it and show it off. It could be something where you can go like make something in Photoshop. Anything is out in the open. If you want to make a short video, anything. We want to see how Podtacular has kind of been beneficial to you. So we give you guys the podcast. We want to see if you guys would be giving back to us and saying like what you guys appreciate about Podtacular. So we're gonna have a couple of prize packages to give away, quote unquote, and we're gonna be picking kind of the top one. So we'll make a big deal about it and try to get other people out there. But I would like to see it be kind of Podtacular focused. But if it's not, if you don't necessarily want to do Podtacular, do it something to where. How has Halo communities as a whole, not necessarily something that the developer's done or something that has been come up just in the Halo game, but what is it about Halo communities? What has been a good community influence on you that keeps you in Halo, keeps you interested in Halo, that kind of thing? So preferably Podtacular, but if there's something else, like if Griffball is your thing and you want to show your support for how much Griffball means to you, then send that in. And we're going to pick the best three, and we're going to send out prize packages for that. Prize packages are going to include things like avatar codes. We're getting some stuff from Certain Affinity. They've been generous enough to give us something, so they're going to throw in a shirt and a couple of the leather binders that they have. I'm going to throw in a Podtacular shirt. I'm going to throw in a couple pins that Laird has been gracious enough to let us use for this contest. It's the pins from San Diego Comic-Con, those special exclusive pins. So he has three of those that we're going to give away in the three different packages. So there's going to be a first, second, and third place, of course. And a couple other things thrown in there. And we'll have final details about that up on Saturday. But we want to see the community feedback of what the Halo community has done for you. We want to see how that influence has impacted you, and however you can show that, whether it be through written word or a video or some kind of handcraft creation, any means necessary is acceptable. Now, obviously, if you want to send me something, that might be a little different, but take pictures of it at that point. Email it to us, put it up, upload it to YouTube, send us a link. All the details of like where to send in submissions and stuff will be up on the post on Saturday as well. So, we're gonna give you 2 weeks. We're gonna give you until the next release of the podcast. So we're taking Thanksgiving off, and we'll be coming back, in episode 401, which will be our next book discussion, believe it or not. And that's when we're going to be making the determinations of the finalists for that. So, we want to see what you guys have to say and appreciate the community most about would like to see it Podtacular, but if it's not Podtacular, that's okay. There are a bunch of other communities that we've been really involved with, and we want to see just what you guys have felt the influence of Halo be like in your gaming experience. So that's the big announcement for this podcast. A couple other things. Big announcement. I know this is long-standing, and it's not going to be exactly deployed the way I want it to be currently deployed, but forums will be up by the time the next podcast airs. So, new forums. It's not going to be pretty or anything quite the way I want it to be, but it's something that has been long overdue, and I'm making a promise. Forums will be back by episode 401. You will see forums. You will be able to post again. We're not pulling over the old forums. We will manually pull over posts from the old forums as we see fit. But if you had an older account, you'll need to make a new account on the new system. And we will be kind of chopping down the forums into specific stuff that's related to Podtacular and Halo. So we're going to have a forum specifically for the episodes to talk about. Discussions there, and hopefully that will help generate stuff that we can talk about on the show. And of course, we'll have the separate Halo forums and separate gaming stuff, but it's going to be a lot more slimmed down than what you're used to up for from the older forums. So that will be making a comeback. Also, the archive for all the older episodes will be available. All 400 episodes will be available by the time the next podcast comes out. So you're going to get forums, you're going to get the full archive of Podtacular. If you want to go back and listen to all 400 episodes, you will be able to do that. So we have the old episodes, we have the forums, and we have the announcement of the contest. So hope that really tingles your taste buds a little bit for stuff that's coming. There's lots more stuff that we're going to be talking about down the road. Stuff that's going to be changing with the stream format, how we're going to be changing up the show a little bit. We're going to have an animated image for the background on the Twitch stream instead of just a static image. We're going to be doing some site changes to the website and stuff, but that's going to be stuff that's a little bit down the line, and we'll announce those things as we're ready to announce those. But those are the big three things for announcements tonight. The contest, the forums, and the older podcasts. So I hope that is something that you guys are looking forward to. And of course, Saturday is when we'll make the big post about the details of the contest. So, Brent, you have anything to say to that?
Enter into the contest. Do it. I mean, you have to.
I mean, yes, really if you're listening to this, you should.
There's no choice in the matter. If you're listening to this, you have to. But yeah. Big things coming for Podtacular. And, you know, it's 400 episodes. I've seen a lot of Halo communities. I've seen them rise to prominence, and I've seen those same communities die off within the same year. And it's depressing whenever you see a community go out. But Podtacular has survived. We have persevered over the years. And, every time you get to a 100 mark on the episode number, it feels like you've achieved something, you know? I mean, even if you feel like you just... If you didn't create anything good, just the fact that you went 400 episodes without stopping, that's something, you know. So, and we put out good stuff. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying 400 episodes, that's not even me. I mean, I've been on a very, very, not a small portion, but I've been on few episodes compared to Dustin or Fumo Jive. But just knowing that Podtacular has survived this long gives me hope. The Podtacular will continue to exist for another 400 episodes.
I hope the same thing, to be perfectly honest. So as long as Halo's here, we will be talking about Halo. So Podtacular is dedicated to Halo, and it will be as long as it goes on. So with that said, it has been 400 wondrous episodes. It's hard to imagine that we've gotten this far, but we have. And 500 is going to be just around the corner, and it's going to be amazing. So, Brent, here's to at least another 100. Hopefully get to 500, get the halfway mark for 1,000 podcasts. That would be freaking epic.
Yeah.
Get that Roman numeral out there. So that'd be pretty cool. And we'll keep on trucking through here. last thing to address on the podcast. Obviously, as we're recording this, a lot of people are out standing in line to get their Xbox Ones. We'll obviously be talking about it probably on the next show a little bit. If we have time, next show is supposed to be more about the book, so we may wait an episode until we talk about the Xbox One. But for everyone that's standing out in the cold, I'm getting mine delivered, so I'm glad I'm not standing out there in the manner of speak. But I do get it a little bit later than you guys, so it is what it is. But everyone, hope you guys enjoy picking up your Xbox Ones, and we will be awaiting your return in 2 weeks. So as far as outros tonight, of course, you can check us out Twitch TV, which we stream on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for our live show. And we do Wacky Wednesdays on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time as well. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. We will be making more announcements on the next show, because I will drop some hints. YouTube stuff, possible positions in terms of staff, that kind of stuff is going to be coming down the pipeline very soon as well. So there were some things I wanted to announce this show, but I'm not quite ready to announce them yet. So check that out. If you want to help donate to us, we do this, of course, for free, like we mentioned before, no cost to you. But if you want to help us out, we'd be more than happy to. And you can do that, of course, with the PayPal button on our homepage. Another thing I wanted to announce is involvement with the Halo Mole. Again, we've been working hard at getting stuff out and about in terms of video. And we've just wrapped up production of all of the first looks. So they're not all out yet, but we're still currently in the process of releasing those every few days. And definitely go check that out. We have contestant profiles that you can go out and check. And you can go over to thehalomole.com and check all those out right now. And it's been a long and grueling process, but it's finally nice to see some of this stuff come out. So check that out. It's been a big project that I've been working on and really looking to see feedback and hopefully that everyone likes it. So on that note, we're going to say goodnight. Thanks, everyone, for coming out to the live stream that did. I think we had about 15 or 16 different people kind of roam through here at one point. So didn't quite get that 20 mark that I wanted to see, but I think a lot of that is because of the Xbox One launch. So I'm not exactly like put down because of it. A lot of people are out standing in the cold waiting for their Xbox One, so that's a little more higher priority than probably listening to this podcast. But to everyone that's out there getting their consoles, stay safe, stay warm, enjoy your new consoles, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. So until then, keep on fragging those community submissions that you guys will be sending in, hopefully.
Keep on fragging history. Potacular history.
Indeed. With that, we're out. Thanks, guys.